pizza. Good morning, everyone. We are few but mighty today, so you guys are going to have to sing nice and loud. Glad to see everybody here. Today we're having potluck after church. Oh, I forgot for me. But we're not going to watch the movie today because there's not enough people to stay to play it. So we will have our potluck and then we will go on home. So we will pick another day to watch it. I felt bad because I wanted to see it, but I can't stay. So anyway, but we will have it. Also remember prayer meeting, people. Come and join us on Wednesdays. It's a great time to pray and just lift people from our church body and friends and neighbors up to the Lord. So encourage you to do that. That's on Wednesdays. And on our webpage, where you can find where it says go to prayer meeting, works really well. Food pantry. It's open Wednesday. Gleaning starts at 11. And the girls are going to stay till noon to help anybody that needs extra help with food. So if you know somebody that's in need, be sure and send them out. It's a great ministry for us to have. Otherwise, they can call and get an appointment with Sherry. Sherry will meet them here. So I think Mark brings her, so she's not by herself. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to watching The Chosen, so we'll just pick another day. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Oh, our dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we are small today. We have some people that have been exposed to COVID. We've just had all of these issues that I feel like Satan is just trying to weasel his way in, Lord, to churches, not just us, but all over. So, Father God, I lift this COVID thing up to you, and I just ask for relief, Lord. I ask that it just help those that are needing help. Help those that have the COVID. Heal them, Lord. But most of all, just make this go away so we don't have to be afraid or be quarantined. Everybody has to quarantine because they're been exposed to, even though it's like a secondhand exposure, it's still exposure. So, Father God, this is a very contagious virus for people, so I just pray that they get healed, Lord. And I pray for those that are sick in our congregation. I just pray the healing on them also. Father God, as we come to worship you today, Lord, just let us put everything aside and just lift our hearts up to you. Let us just praise your name. Let us just feel your presence here today, Lord. I especially lift Teresa up to you. She's Her knee is hurting, Lord, and we don't know why, but we just know you are in control of all of this, and you can heal that knee, so we just lift her up to you also. We just praise you, Lord Jesus. We thank you for this time that we can come and worship together. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. So, we are going to go to our call to worship. If you want to stand at Psalm 73:26. My health may fail, and my spirit
may grow weak,
but God remains the strength of my heart.
He is mine forever.
What a great promise. Yes, what a great promise. All right, so our first song is going to be Be Thou My Vision.
Thou my best friend. Father be led by his amplest hands, than to be
Church.
Good morning.
Good morning, and God bless you, brothers and sisters. Let us take our Sunday morning tithes and offerings and just try to give back to the Almighty. Father, Lord, thank you so much for the blessings you bestow upon us all. Riches beyond the dollars of this world. This house of worship, our family, our friends, our jobs, peers at work, people we get to serve, all of these things are riches beyond a financial number. So thank you, Lord, as we try to give back, not just financially today, but with our lives, our friendship to others, our lives of integrity that lead them to you and our children.
Thank you.
prayer is. I've got the live feed here. I don't want to miss a request from anybody. And I've got the group me here. I don't want to miss a request from anybody. It's that important. It's the blood. Oh, there we go. I'm hearing myself on my tablet here. Sorry. There we go. So, Debbie said that there was a request by Carol in group me, and she's asking for Carol Baker, extra prayers for Jim, Lori, and Jim's family, the Cooper family, if I remember right, that they're dealing with, what was that earlier? Yeah, just sick to his stomach. Of course, it affects the whole family, so prayers for Jim and Lori Cooper and Jim's family. And on the same thing, she said that she asks us for prayer to God lovingly wrap his arms around Paul and allow him to be able to eat something more than a tiny bit of fruit here and there without losing it right away. So Paul's having trouble with the cancer treatment. Yep. We're going to need to get Paul and Ted together. Just get both an IV and get them going. It was good to get to visit Ted and Debbie a little bit yesterday morning while Dawson was playing airsoft at Camp R&R. He's fallen asleep in the seat back there because playing airsoft in 8 to 10 inches of snow is not easy. But he wouldn't have missed the opportunity to actually play in the snow. So a praise there. He got to have fun. What was that? I only did one cookie in Ted and Debbie's driveway. Just one. Just enough to get turned around. Good times. Let's see. Oh, Linda Baxter posted, pray for Nathan Wiseman, who's tested positive for COVID, and for the Wiseman family as they quarantine. Absolutely. Pray for all the teachers out there that we know are getting exposed. Pray that, this is my request, that every pray for school to not have to cancel just because there's not enough staff members that are out sick. Even with this 5-day thing, I'll tell you this much, I'm watching myself closely. If I feel like I'm sick, I have a student who's incredibly medically fragile. And if she got sick, it would rock her family's world left and right. So please pray that I stay well so that she can continue to get schooling, get her services, and her family not have to worry about that. That would be really bad. Bill.
Let's remember Uncle Sam, my brother. Sam, he's in radiation treatment. He's doing okay. I talked to him this week. They are now testing those that have not been vaccinated where I work, and they found 3 of them that tested positive. We're praying that none of us get passed on with this. As you were talking about teachers, I'm thinking of a prayer request that Jeremy shared with me. He said, pray for our bus driver, Dad. My man is really, what, Jeremy?
Trimac.
Yeah, see, Trimac. You know, it's just not teachers.
It's everybody.
Let's remember this. Let's really pray for God's edge of protection.
So Bill's lifted up his brother Stan, who's still going through radiation treatment for cancer, and seems doing okay at the moment. Co-workers at work that have tested positive for COVID, that they quarantine and work not become a big issue. And prayer for everybody out there working in the public. That they can stay healthy, beat this thing, and together as a human race, we win the race with our Creator's help.
Let's not forget Paige. We've been Phyllis's daughter, Chris.
We can Phyllis's daughter, Paige, has COVID as well, so let's pray for Paige. Oh my. Vicki.
Seems like much more than that to me. And she's just started this new job, and
my dad can fix it too. And then she asked for prayer for a friend of hers who had breast cancer, but it has metastasized to her brain now. And so she's going through. She has young children.
So Kaylee is granddaughter, right?
Kaylee's my granddaughter.
Your granddaughter. So prayer for her with what the doctors say is plantar fasciitis, but seems really severe. And then for Kaylee's friend, who had blood cancer that has now metastasized, or breast cancer, who has now metastasized to the brain. Okay. Oh, sometimes only you, Lord. It is a praise to see Vicky here and to know that she can hear herself talking to us too.
Hear our wonders.
Ooh.
I would take that over nothing. And I wouldn't even complain. Judy.
I'm afraid for my son, Leo. He is not, he hasn't felt well for many months. But he's not going to go to the doctor for weeks. So he finally went to a surgical appointment and they did blood work. Just
thinking of the personalities of your four boys, that's Leo. Yeah. He's strong as an ox, and nothing's going to knock me down. Yeah.
And he's working from home.
That's not like Leo. So prayer for Leo Hesse-Gesser in some kind of chronic illness that they're trying to figure out. It's been bothering him for a couple months. Josh. Josh is praising the Lord for good health and praising the Lord for an opportunity to keep working with the food ministry. Yes. Prayer for continued donations on that, because as we gale through this short little season here, it's going to be needed. If people can't get to the store, but they can get here, that might be what needs to happen. Sarah. So Sarah's lifting up two co-workers, Alyssa, who has been in a long, drawn-out fight with cancer nearing the end of that, but has had pneumonia, or is having pneumonia, as a complication of having a collapsed lung during her surgeries. And then for our friend who is just right across that shared teacher closet space from her at school, Laura and her husband, Dayson. And Dayson has been hospitalized with some severe pneumonia conditions. And prayer that the school can come together, the staff can come together and fill that room and give Laura time to attend to her husband. Anyone else in prayer or prayers? Debbie.
Yeah.
spell mystery, T-E-D, and the person who can solve them is G-O-D. And there's finally a G.I. that thinks Ted has a slow stomach. So, Debbie's looking up prayers for an appointment this Friday with an acupuncturist to see if that can be of any benefit. Lord, it's a long road, but you're the navigator. That's right. I got the plan. We don't always see it. Just trust it. It's good to see Ted back there in the back today. Anyone else? Ted waved you off. All right, let's go together. Father, Lord, thank you so much for this house of worship that we can come and stand before you and receive your great love and blessings in our lives, Lord, and for those that are virtually with us, the same. And for those unable to be here, but are in spirit and truth, we know you love them no less. Lord, for all of us, we just lift ourselves up to your great glory and say, protect us, put a hedge of protection over us as we go through this Omicron surge. Protect us, keep us healthy, put your Holy Spirit not just into our hearts, but throughout our bodies, and protect every cell. We ask this in Jesus' name, our Savior. Not just of our soul, but our very bodies that will someday be perfected. But for now, are fallen in this world. Lord, there's so many that have been lifted up for cancer, for pneumonia, for other diseases, for full restoration of hearing, with gratefulness for some. And Lord, for mysteries of medicine that are still ongoing in our midst, Lord. That we know that the heart of every man that's been lifted up as a mystery today is no mystery to you, but treasured and loved as well as the body. So, Lord, continue to give wisdom and insight to the doctors dealing with all of these illnesses, these cancers, and these mysteries. And, Lord, thank you for the smallest blessings that seem so large, and the largest ones that we take for granted. We praise you for being involved in our lives, for holding together marriages, building them up stronger, and Lord, for celebrating lives and anniversaries that I've seen this week, and birthdays. Lord, thank you for health more than anything else right now. As you help us, Lord, protect our bodies and keep us healthy, keep our hearts and minds healthy, focused on you as well. And as sorrows come, let us rejoice in knowing, as we have for several in this congregation and for family members of them in here, that it was a heavenly home. It was freedom in you. Let us not forget that freedom is available even now for those of us that have chosen you as Lord and Savior. Thank you, Lord, for coming as a child, that we could pray to you as our Savior, and that you would die to pay the price and be the sacrifice for our sins once and for all. And that we could accept that by proxy and give to heaven. Thank you. And finally, we lift up our leaders of this nation, Lord. Right now, there seems to be so much shakeup, so much confusion at the top. But Lord, we know that at the top of our lives, you are there. We can trust you no matter what confusion comes from men and men's hearts and men's minds, but know that you ultimately are the God that is in control. So, Lord, bring revival into the hearts and minds of those that are in leadership, and bring revival into the hearts and minds of those who may need to become leaders to put this nation on a great track to be a city on a hill for you, not here. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Wow. Just when I thought I might be done.
Yeah, you ready? Yeah. We got Mr. Airsoft.
Mr. Electricity. Don't ask him how a circuit works. You'll find out.
No. No. We're just gonna pray for him.
Yes, you're going to show me when you help. Father, Lord, thank you so much for these children and the way their minds work. Lord, captivate them today with the message you have for them in Children's Church, that it seep not just through their mind, but into their hearts, their very souls, for your glory and your kingdom.
Well, hello, everyone. Praise the Lord.
Lord.
I know. Thank God for another day. Bill's waving. Praise the Lord. Yes, praise the Lord. Now, Brother Bill, you didn't tell me when we age, it can happen overnight. You didn't tell me when we age, it can happen overnight. See, I went to bed, woke up, my left knee is like, oh, no, what are you trying to do? I feel old. But I'm grateful. I'm grateful that it still works. And I might be moving slow, but God is good. Amen?
Amen.
Yes, God is so good to us. So, welcome to our worship service. We're going to spend a couple of Sundays studying the significance of the Epiphany. We started last Sunday, the last Sunday of Advent, posing the question, where's Jesus? Remember that? And we talked about the time Jesus' parents lost him during the Passover. And you go, how do you lose your child? But it happens. We then examined the tradition of Epiphany. What is Epiphany? We had an interesting conversation in my family. My brother-in-law was, he has neighbors who live across from him. They're Mexican, and they brought over the cake for Epiphany, and wanted to share with them, and he was like, and he had never seen that before. He was like, what is that all about? And so I explained what Epiphany is all about and the significance of the cake. If you've never had friends share with you for the Dia de los Reyes, it's Epiphany. They are celebrating the day that the Magi come and find the toddler Jesus. And so you bake a cake, it's in the shape of a wreath, it's really pretty. It's almost similar to like our fruitcake, what people do for fruitcakes. And then you place a little baby Jesus inside. And so whoever cuts it, you cut it up and you break off pieces. And whoever has the baby Jesus inside, that's a sign of blessing for you for the new year. So so we had this wonderful conversation about that, and about the tradition of Epiphany. So we're going to continue what Epiphany is all about. And we're going to be using one of Paul's letters to the scattered churches. And so I'm entitling this sermon, Epiphany, Salvation for the Gentiles. So So we're going to be looking at Ephesians chapter 3, just a couple of verses there, 3 through 6. Again, this is Paul writing. As I briefly wrote earlier, God himself revealed his mysterious plan to me. As you read what I have written, you will understand my insight into this plan regarding Christ. Listen to what he says. God did not reveal it to previous generations, but now, by his Spirit, he has revealed it to his holy apostles and prophets. Verse 6 says, and this is God's plan. Both Gentiles and Jews who believe the good news share equally in the riches inherited by God's children. Both are part of the same body, and both enjoy the promise of blessings because they belong to Christ Jesus. Amen to the word of the Lord. So we mentioned last week the religious meaning of Epiphany. It's the revelation of the Messiah when the Magi, remember, they're not Jewish people. These are people who do not believe in the Jewish God. But they see the star and they travel from afar looking for that Messiah. They end up researching scriptures that are completely, you know, they're unaware. Like, who are these people of the book? What is their scripture all about? So they study the scriptures, they study the stars, and they follow that star, and it leads them to this toddler, and they visit him. And so Epiphany is that revelation of Jesus Christ to all of mankind. It also commemorates, Epiphany does, not only the finding of the babe by the non-Jewish people, but it also reminds us to think about Jesus when he is baptized, because God speaks his blessing over him, and also when Jesus performs his first miracle. So that's all wrapped up into Epiphany. But let's look at what the dictionary says, because it's not just a Christian thing or a religious thing. We actually use this, the word Epiphany, in the English language. The dictionary defines it as this: a moment in which you suddenly see or understand something in a new way or a very clear way. And so this is why you'll hear people say, the light bulb came on, right? That's where that expression is about. It's, oh, Epiphany. The light bulb has come on, so now you understand. Epiphany also refers to the appearance or the manifestation, especially of a divine being, hence Jesus being revealed, his physical manifestation. So this portion of Paul's letter shows us God's plan when we're looking at Ephesians chapter 3. Now, we've talked about God's plan. Remember, you've heard me say it over and again. When we study God's attributes, it was a repeated refrain that his plan before he created the universe was to save it. Okay, that was God's plan all along, save the universe that he created. The ancient Israelites knew this, but as Paul points out, no one realized God's salvation included the status of the non-Jew. Reading the scripture, most everyone concluded that God's salvation was for the people of the book. That's how the Israelites were referred to, and they were known in biblical times. They were the people of the book. And they knew that God's salvation would be extended beyond them, the Jewish people, to non-Jews alike. But most Jews, somehow, were not expecting that non-Jews would be considered joint heirs, which is having the very same status as they are as Jews. They didn't expect that. One of my professors in seminary, Dr. Carl Laney, he explains it like this. He says, Paul's statement on the place of the Gentiles in Christ stressed their equality in the mystery of Christ. The mystery was not that Gentiles would someday be included in salvation, for that had already been known since Genesis 12, verse 3, where he talks about all nations being saved. The mystery, Dr. Laney argues, is centered on Gentile status as fellow heirs to God's promise to the Jews. So then he points out the three repetitions of together. When you read in different translations, the word together is used there at least three times. But in the New Living Translation, which is what I'm reading from today, together is replaced by the word both. So when you read it in New Living Translation, it says both Gentiles and Jews who believe, both are a part of the same body, and both enjoy the promise of blessings. So Paul is repeating himself. Why? Because it's important. Anytime someone repeats yourself, parents, you already know this. If you've been repeating yourself, teachers as well, this is how we learn. You can't just tell us once, Brother Bill. It's got to be several times, right? And so Paul says, not once, not twice, but three times, both. Both the Jews and the Gentiles, both are a part of the same body. Both enjoy the promise of blessings. So the job of the disciples after Jesus ascends into heaven is to declare the good news to everyone that not only are Gentiles included in God's plan, but we have the same amount of sonship as the Jews. This is a game changer. So you might be thinking, well, why would that be significant? It's a game changer. I'll tell you why. Because what God has designed is a one-tier inheritance. Now, I'm a part of a retirement plan, and there's different tiers. The longer you've been in, but if you came in at a certain date, you get this much of a benefit. If you came in after the certain date, you get less of the benefit. And then the people who came even after that get even less of the benefit. So we're all members of this retirement system, but it's tiered, and we're not really all equal. We're not going to get all equal benefits. And so God is saying, I don't care if you came yesteryear or today, you all have the same benefits. There is no tier in the inheritance. And this is significant for Jewish people because they knew their lived experience was different because the law taught them how to pass on an inheritance. So check it out. In biblical times, when a father passed away and left possessions for his heirs, the firstborn son would receive a double portion of whatever was to be inherited. And then the rest was divided equally among the rest of the brothers. So let me give you an example. If there were three sons, the oldest would get 2/3, that would be a double portion of the estate. And then the two brothers would split the 1/3, okay, that which remains. And so now, people who are out there, I know you're asking, well, what happened to the daughters? They don't get an inheritance? What's going on here? What about the widow? What about the wife if the husband passed away? Well, the widow would live with her firstborn son, or any of the sons, because they would take care of her, as would the unwed sisters. So the women in God's plan would always be taken care of because he outlined that in his rules and in his expectations. He commanded that you take care of one another. And so it was the son's responsibility to care for his mom, to care for his unwed sisters, if he were to inherit the estate. We see the effects of this in the story of Naomi and Ruth. Remember their story? The sons die, and Naomi is already a widow because her husband passed away. And you can read about them in the book of Ruth, but I'll give you a quick rundown of their story. So Naomi's husband dies. They have two sons before he dies. The sons grow up, they get married. And after about 10 years of marriage, each of the guys, they die. So then their wives are now widows. So Naomi advises her daughters-in-law to go back to their families because there were no males to take care of them if they should choose to stay with her, right? There are no males. So you got to go back to your family where the males can take care of you. So Ruth doesn't want to leave Naomi on her own as a widow to fend for herself, because who's going to take care of her? She doesn't want to see her traveling back to Bethlehem, her hometown, by herself. So Ruth accompanies her. And that's where you get those famous words. No, 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 no. Where you go, I will go. Your people will be my people. So she pledges herself to taking care of Naomi as a good son would. So fast forward. Ruth gleans from the fields and appeals to Boaz, who happens to be a male relative who is eligible to marry her due to the state of her widowhood, right? So he agrees to marry her after checking with the first eligible male, because there's a ranking order. You can't just, oh, well, let's get married. Like, no, we have to figure out who's the oldest. And if it's the oldest who can't marry you, then the second oldest. So they go down the line, and turns out Boaz gets to be able to marry her. And so he does. And why do I share this part? Because Ruth's story is a beautiful witness to how God loves every single one of us. He takes care of us. And not only does he take care of us, but he is looking and expecting for us to take care of one another. So you see it throughout the story. Ruth says, I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to stay with you, because you shouldn't be out here on these roads journeying back to Bethlehem by yourself. They look for a kinsman redeemer who will save them from poverty and begging out on the streets. God expects us to take care of one another. And I hope that we do. God forgive us, because we're not doing too good of a job right now these days. But there are those of us who still are. And I don't know if you've noticed in that story of Ruth, the word glean. That's a whole nother sermon and a good topic for another day and time. But I'm pretty sure that's why our food ministry is for the gleaners, right? Because what's left over is given and shared with those who have not. That's what God expects of us. We cannot be selfish and claim to be believers of the Most High God. We can't do it. So, now back to our measure of inheritance. So, I imagine the Israelites assumed, because they were the firstborn, so to speak, right? Because God carried the message of salvation through them, they're believing that they're the firstborn. So, they should receive a double portion of membership in God's family. But when God led the group of astronomers to the Holy Child, he was making it clear that there is no double portion of inheritance, because we are all, every single last one of us, joint heirs with Jesus Christ himself. This is the collective light bulb going on for all Jews in that day and time. And not only does that light bulb come on for the Jews, but it comes on for the Gentiles as well. So what does this mean for us today? We're not Jewish, and we're not looking for a double portion. Well, yes, we may not be Jewish, but over the years, brothers and sisters, I've met fellow believers who believe and practice that they have a higher status over others because of the length of time that they've been walking with God. They feel they should have more of a say-so when it comes to making decisions about church because they've been here the longest than the rest of us, right? Or they've been saved longer than some of us. And I remember people saying, child, I've been saved longer than you've been alive. Yeah, that's true. That might be very true. But guess what? The same Holy Spirit that's in you is the same Holy Spirit that's in me, is the same Holy Spirit that's in the brother and the sisters and all of us.
Amen.
Amen. The Holy Spirit is the equalizer.
Amen.
The blood of the Lamb has been shed for every single last one of us. And so there is no double portion when it comes to the inheritance from the Almighty. So we don't get to trump one another by saying, I am more important than you are. We can't do it. We can't do it if we really love Jesus. You know, so they feel that they should be able to say certain things and do certain things because, you know, and sometimes it's not because they've been walking with God longer, Sister Linda. Sometimes they feel, you know, I have more money. So my status in society should give me that double portion. Or I have more education than the next person. Whatever it is, it doesn't matter. God is simply saying to us, look, I don't care if you've been saved yesterday or 25 years ago, everyone receives the same amount of salvation. So, Sister Vicky, you can't be super saved. There's no ultra saved or mega saved or even a little bit saved. You're either saved or you're not. You believe in Christ Jesus as the Messiah or you don't. You can't be a little bit of saved or even super duper saved. I think I would be super duper saved, Brother Bill, because, you know, I have been walking with Jesus a long time. But but he reminds me, yeah, you are super saved because of the Holy Spirit, not by anything that you've done. Not by anything that you have done. So now, remember what verse 6 says. Those who believe the good news share equally in the riches inherited by God's children. Both are part of the same body. Both enjoy the promise of blessings because they belong to Christ Jesus. Now, there are some implications from being a part of the same body. And then I'm just going to name a couple of them. Why is it significant? Well, first, we talked about the first one. There's no second-class citizenship. There's no second-class citizenship. You're not a half-brother or a half-sister because you've been adopted. You're not an adopted child into the family. We are all equally brothers and sisters in Christ. There's no second-class citizenship.
Yeah, you can sit anywhere on Jesus' plane.
That's right. You can sit anywhere on Jesus' plane. Thank you, Brother Fred. I like that. You don't get to be in the first class because you're special. Like, no. We're all in this together. But there are also a couple more implications for being a part of the same body. The second thing is this. The Holy Spirit unifies us, making us a suitable dwelling place for God. So Paul explains this actually in the previous chapter. So if you have a physical Bible, you have to turn back a couple pages to Ephesians chapter 2. Or if it's electronic, you can just, you know, use your finger and glide back. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 through 22. Listen to what it says. So now you Gentiles are no longer strangers and foreigners. You are citizens along with all of God's holy people. You are members of God's family. Together, we are his house, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. And the cornerstone is Christ Jesus himself. We are carefully joined together in him, becoming a holy temple for the Lord. Through him, you Gentiles are also being made part of this dwelling where God lives by his Spirit. You see that? The Holy Spirit works in all of us, purifies us, makes us worthy for God to live inside of us, and makes us all fit together. when you read those words, Paul's trying to give us a physical drawing of this is what it looks like. We're together. We're knit together. You can't be over here talking about you love Jesus all by yourself. No, it doesn't work. You have to be a part of the body of Christ in order to be effective. A third implication is God's expectation that we will serve in our God-given role empowered by the Spirit. Since God has strategically placed us in the body of Christ, He's expecting you to do what He's created you to do, to be who He has created you to be in Christ Jesus. We'll use Paul's testimony, for example. So if you go back to chapter 3, we focus on verses 3 through 6, but just move a couple verses down, verses 8 and 9. Paul says some very powerful words. Chapter 3, verses 8 and 9. Listen to what he says. This is how he views himself. Though I am the least deserving of all God's people, He graciously gave me the privilege of telling the Gentiles about the endless treasures available to them in Christ. Verse 9 says, I was chosen to explain to everyone this mysterious plan that God, the creator of all things, had kept secret from the beginning. Do you hear what Paul is saying? He's an example for us that our past does not dictate our place in God's kingdom. Look at what he says. I'm the least deserving of all of God's people. And why does he say that? Because you have to know the story of Paul. He was a very religious man, going to Shabbat service all the time like he was supposed to, saying all the prayers, trying to uphold all of the law. But he was also a very mean person. He actually persecuted those who were walking around talking about Jesus was God's Messiah. So he actually wanted them to be put to death and punished for their blasphemy. And here he is, fast forward in his life, God calls him to be a part of the family of God. And he says, you would think that I wouldn't be worthy, but God, through his Spirit, has empowered me to go and to tell people about who he is and about who the Messiah is. So no matter who you are, when we are in Christ, we are empowered by the Holy Spirit to share our gifting and our testimony, just like Paul did. And I know there's someone out there who has said, you said this to yourself several times, I'm never going to be worthy. I can't be like Sister Debbie. She comes, she's dedicated, she shows up, she works for the church. I can't do that. Look at my past. And Jesus says, forget all of that. I have come to forgive all of those things so that you can be a part of God's family. And as part of God's family, you now get to turn around and tell somebody else about God's wonderful love and how he's changed your life. So go, share your gift, share your testimony. I like the way Pastor Thomas Bowen of Life Point Church, it's a church in Georgia. I like how he explains it. He says this, Paul teaches that it is only by the grace of God that he can do anything, that he does not have any power, that he does not bring any qualifications as a spokesman for God. If you or I try to measure our abilities against Paul or any of the godly leaders in the Bible, we will never feel good enough or qualified. We may think we are comparing between humans, you know, their abilities against ours. But that is not really true. They are borrowing. They did not do what we read about on their own. They were empowered and helped by God. So any comparison we make is unfair. And we will never feel ready to serve as God intends us to serve in the kingdom. Because we tend to disqualify ourselves, we will never really live as a full member of the family of God. So I invite you, dear brothers and sisters, stop comparing yourself to the people around you. Stop comparing yourself to the people in the Bible. And rest in God's salvation. Know that His Holy Spirit lives inside of you because you believe in Jesus the Christ. God wants to use you for His glory. So if you've thought those thoughts, I want you to rehearse Pastor Tom's words. Let go of comparing yourself to others. Let go of trying to sing like so-and-so or preach or teach like so-and-so and wish you could do like so-and-so. Be like Moses when God asks him, what's in your hand? And Moses looks and goes, well, it's a staff.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever you have in your hand, whatever you are naturally gifted with, use it for God's glory. Don't look around at the people around you. Just say, God, you know what? I'm pretty good at A, B, and C. How can I use it for your glory? Show me where I belong in your body so that I can help build your kingdom. Rehearse those words. Rest in the fact that when you believe Christ is God's way of salvation, the Holy Spirit lives inside you and makes you equal to all believers. You are a joint heir with Jesus Christ Himself. I pray that our time together has provided an aha moment for you. It's been a light bulb that has turned on, and you've had an epiphany of some sort. Remember, the mystery of Christ is not the salvation is for the non-Jews, those of us who are not Jewish, but that we as non-Jews receive full fellowship with Christ. We are not second-class members in the body of Christ. And because we are joint heirs with Christ, we will follow the Spirit's guidance, share the good news with others that God places in our lives, in our very path. So pray with me if you would. Holy God, thank you. Thank you for this day. Thank you for your holy word. Thank you for salvation through Jesus. We pray now for those who are seeking to know more about you. Use us here in this congregation to answer their questions and to make them feel welcome into the family of God. We pray for those who want to accept Jesus today. We pray that your Spirit will give witness to their heart that you have forgiven their sin. And we pray, Lord God, for those who have been walking a long time with you. We pray for your continued anointing in our lives. Help us to let our light shine. Help us to be the salt that you have designed us to be. All for your glory. We pray it. We pray it. Amen. And amen. All right. I believe we're going to prepare now for our Holy Communion. Sister, will you help me? Okay, thank you. what we're going to do now, we're going to serve our sisters and brothers who are here in the sanctuary. And for those of you who are at home, I invite you on second Sundays, we usually do, we observe the Holy Communion. You can always have some wafers, some crackers at home, some grape juice if you have, and you can join us in a virtual communion. That's beautiful music. Thank you, Sister Debbie. I invite you now to join us in celebrating the memory of the work of Jesus Christ. As we talked about in our last few sermons, Jesus was the plan all along of God's salvation plan. He is that Passover lamb. So when he was with his disciples that night observing Passover, he gave it new meaning because he said, you know, this bread, it's my body that's going to be broken for you. And so he invites them to take, eat of it. And so they ate that unleavened bread and thought, what does he mean his body is going to be broken for us? And then he raised the glass of the wine and he said, this is my blood shed for you. Take, drink of it. And we know that later, Jesus came through with his word, with his promise. He was that sacrificial lamb. His body was broken. His blood was shed, not only for those Jews in that day and that time who knew about the Messiah, but for all of us who came thousands of years later. Isn't that wonderful? So each time we do this, we happen to do it here at Gills Creek on the second Sunday, we remember that Jesus died for us. And that's why we are part of this glorious family of God, all joint heirs with Jesus Christ himself, all equal, all able to have the Holy Spirit living in us to empower us to be a witness to this world who so much needs the light of Christ. So as many times as we do this, we remember, lest we forget. Pray with me. Holy God, we thank you. Thank you again for salvation. Thank you for Jesus Christ, for his sacrifice of his body, of his blood. We remember. And we do not forget. We do not take it for granted. thank you for the ministry of reconciliation that you have given to us to go and be like Paul, telling the world around us, God reigns, God cares, God loves us, and has a way of salvation for us. We thank you, God. We bless your holy name. And we sing one more song to praise your holy name. Amen. One more song, Sister Lori. And after which we'll be dismissed. So I pray over you a dismissal. Go with God. Go in his peace. Go in his grace. Know that the Holy Spirit is with you, empowering you this week to share with at least one other person the goodness of God in your life. Amen.
Amen. All right, well, we're singing a cappella, so you guys have to sing really loud. You can stand or sit.
Worthy, you are worthy, King of kings, Lord of lords, you are worthy, worthy. You are worthy, King of kings, Lord of lords, I worship you. Holy, you are holy, King of kings, Lord of lords, you are holy, holy, you are holy, King of kings, Lord of lords, I worship you. Jesus, you are Jesus, King of kings, Lord of lords, you are Jesus. Jesus, you are Jesus, King of kings, Lord of lords, I worship you.
Amen.
Have a wonderful week, everyone.
Thank you so much.